Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports 7 Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew. I'm of course with Mamo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
I'm all right. Doing good. Good to have you on the show, and I'm glad to have you, ladies and gentlemen, to check out this episode. It's a super size, fun-filled episode. You know, we're gonna share our thoughts on, you know, Derek Jeter, you know, getting elected to the Hall as a first ballot Hall of Famer, as we all know he would. Also, we're going to talk about Mets hiring their second manager in the offseason. This time it's Luis Rojas. I'll give you my thoughts on that. I'll also talk about Eli Manning finally hanging up his cleats and retiring as a Giant. And then, of course, I'll preview the Super Bowl that's gonna come up next weekend, and Royal Rumble that's coming up tomorrow night. So, you know, of course, you guys know the number. Feel free to share your thoughts. You know, we'd love to hear from you. And yeah, with that said, yeah, let's just dive into let's dive in like Derek Jeter does at the plate, or dive into steal second base, you know. Let's talk about your boy Jeter.
And, oh yeah.
I'm definitely gonna get to you because inquiring minds definitely want to hear from you, from a diehard Yankee fan who's been there literally since day one, since, you know, Derek Jeter, you know, debuted with the team, like, in 95. So, definitely want to hear your thoughts. I know you're beaming about this Hall of Fame. So, of course, we all know Derek Jeter was going in first ballot.
Mm-hmm.
The only debate that we were having, that everybody was having, was whether or not he would join Mariano Rivera as the second unanimous player to go into the Hall of Fame, or would there be, you know, some smart guy somewhere who wouldn't vote for him, you know, and that's basically what happened. Derek Jeter had over 99% of the vote. One person didn't vote, whoever that person is. And Larry Walker, he finally got in on his last year of eligibility. You know, the former Rocky, former Expo. You know, he got in on his he's joining Derek Jeter. But yeah, what's your thoughts on Derek Jeter going in and not being unanimous?
Well, you know, that one guy that didn't vote for Jeter is an asshole. I'll say that.
I thought it was you.
Definitely wasn't me. I mean, I've been the biggest Derek Jeter fan for the longest time. But, you know, yeah, I mean, that pretty much messed it up, man. You know, he was supposed to be the second player behind Mariano to go into Hall of Fame unanimous. And that one reporter made it all about himself. But regardless, you know, Jeter goes in as, I think he's, you know, the highest positional player, you know, to go into the Hall of Fame. Had 99.7, I think, votes.
Yeah, something like that.
So, yeah, man, it's well-deserved, man. This guy had a great career, you know, very clutch, especially when the postseason came around. I mean, his eyes just lit up, you know, and having big hits, starting rallies, big home runs, aka 2000 World Series.
Yeah, you know, I thought about that too.
You know, So, you know, this guy was, you know, an important piece of those Yankee championships. And, you know, he had a great career. I mean, was he the greatest player in baseball during his tenure? No. I mean, there were better players. You can even make a case there were better shortstops, you know, especially offensively. But, you know, Derek Jeter, I mean, he wasn't the greatest offensive player. Mm-hmm. He was good. You know, he wasn't great. He wasn't the best defender. You know, he was good. He wasn't great. But, you know, again, he was clutch. And he was a leader. You know, and he just had those fundamentals that a lot of players don't have in baseball. And he was able to motivate his teammates just by leading by example, you know, on how to play the right way and being a class act. And, you know, that's why he's going to the Hall of Fame, you know, respected by his peers and, you know, baseball players throughout MLB. And, you know, probably the last superstar we've had in the majors, right? Can you think of another superstar right now since Derek Jeter that appears in commercials, you know, in the tabloids, you know, and the face of baseball right now? I mean, Derek Jeter is the last one I can think of. You know, I mean, maybe Mike Trout, but
I was thinking Mike Trout too, but he's not in like commercials and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, Derek Jeter is the last great superstar we had. We don't have a, you know, superstar like that right now. So, you know, he meant a lot to Major League Baseball. So, you know, it's a special time and a special moment, and, you know, congrats to him. It's well deserved.
Yeah, I feel you. And folks, if you guys want to call in, the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to, you know, share your thoughts, you know, on Derek Jeter getting voted in and any of the topics we're going to talk about on today's show. Anything that's on your mind, really, sports, entertainment related. But in any case, what else was I going to say? Yeah, Derek Jeter, he was saying, like, basically, he's not going to focus on that one guy who didn't vote for him and just focus on him making it, which, I mean, that's the right mindset to have because, you know, you know who's my least favorite player of all time, right?
Who?
Roger Clemens. You know, because of the whole Piazza incident. But if I was a baseball writer, you know, prior to the steroids scandal that he surrounded in, I would have voted for him. I mean, because I have to put my personal bias aside and do what's right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'd still put him in, Barry Bonds, you know, because we can't really tell when these guys started taking steroids. And also, there's still no strong evidence that steroids helps you hit baseballs out of the ballpark. You know, there's still not enough, you know, sufficient evidence for us to determine that. So, based on that, these guys should go in. I mean, I don't think these guys, you know, were using it for a long period of time, but, you know, these guys were still great players. You're taking steroids, but it's still, you still have to have the hand-eye coordination to hit the ball out of the ballpark, you know?
Yeah, well, me and you are having a different argument. I would say, like, if he didn't have the you know, if he wasn't accused of being steroids and it's pretty obvious that he didn't, that he took it, I would have voted for him. Now that he's, you know, it's pretty obvious he took it. I wouldn't vote him in. But I'm saying if he didn't have that, if there wasn't strong evidence to show that there's a strong chance that him and Bonds have taken it, you know, I would have voted them in because those guys were clearly Hall of Famers before, you know, they allegedly took it. But since they cheated, I mean, You know, I can't vote them in. But your argument is that you don't care whether they did it or not. That
I'm not saying I don't care. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that, you know, it's a tough issue because we don't know when these guys started taking these supplements.
Right.
And you know, also before they started taking supplements, whenever that was, they were great players. So maybe we should take into account what they were doing before they started taking these supplements, you know? And also on top of that, these supplements, we still don't know for sure if supplements help these players, you know, become great. Because these guys were already good. I mean, these guys were good throughout high school, some of them college, and then into major. So obviously they're already very good players before they started taking this stuff, you know? So who knows if steroids actually helped or not? You know, I don't know. You know, but you know, it is a tough argument. But I would put them Barry Bonds. I mean, he's one of the greatest hitters. You know, despite taking steroids, so I would put him in. I mean, if you want to put an asterisk next to their name because you know they were cheating, I guess you could do that. But I still think they just deserve to go into the Hall of Fame. You know, at some point in their lives.
But, I mean, I see your point. I mean, Barry Bonds was clearly a Hall of Famer before he signed with San Francisco and, you know, basically looked like Super Mario Brothers after he takes a mushroom. That, you know what I'm saying?
Or Popeye
like,
after he takes a spinach.
Exactly. I mean, he was clearly on the trajectory of being a Hall of Famer. I mean, this guy was a great base stealer, a great hitter. And then he went to his hometown, San Francisco, and you know, he just went to a whole another level, a video game level where you literally couldn't get him out.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, same thing with Clemens. Clemens was a great pitcher, you know, with the Red Sox, and then afterwards, you know, he allegedly took steroids and, you know, just kept winning championships right after he left Boston. You know, he pitched for Toronto, of course, Yankees. And, I mean, the rest is history. He just kept racking up Cy Young Awards. I think he won 7, if my memory serves me right. So, you know, like I said, if those guys didn't allegedly cheat, you know, I would put my personal bias for Clemens aside, and I would vote him in if I was a baseball writer. Because, like I said, you know,
you gotta the thing. You know, during that time, a lot of players were using steroids or HGH and all the stuff. So
right.
You know, if we can't put them in, we got to dig up, the history of some of these other guys that are currently in the Hall of Fame, because there's some guys that's in there that probably were taking steroids too. So
well,
you know,
it's too late now. We can't just keep going back. I mean, once a person's in, if we didn't catch them before they went in, I mean, that's it.
Mm,
we can't
just
retroactively, like, take somebody out. I mean, if that's the case, we might as well take Ty Cobb out of the Hall of Fame since he's a racist. I mean,
you know
what I'm saying? Like, it's not a morality kind of thing. I mean, if they cheated and they got away with
it.
It
is a morality thing because, I mean, they cheated. So, you know, that is something that's immoral,
I guess. Of course.
But,
yes, right.
You know, but, hey, it is what it is. I mean, I think they at some point they need to go in, you know, because
they
we can't determine based on the fact that we can't determine when they started taking supplements.
Yeah, because, they're climbing up. I mean, I think they have, 60% of the votes, but
yeah,
they're running out of time, you know. I think they have maybe, a year or two from the regular ballot, you know, because they need, I think, 10 years of eligibility.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're running out. I mean, they're still climbing up in the ranking, you know, the voting, the percentage, year-wise, but they need a huge surge, you know, in the next, at least by the very minimum, the next couple of years for them to go in.
Right.
But yeah, I guess we'll see what happens. You know.
Let me give you a clear example.
Sure.
Let's say you go, 10 years. Well, no, yeah, let's say at your job, you know, you go 10 years, you're doing well at your job, you know, you're like getting all kinds of awards,
right?
And then suddenly you decide, oh, you want to get, you know, you want to do supplements, you know, at your job, and then it's uncovered by the boss that, you know, this guy is taking supplements, he's cheating, that's why his performance is so great. You know, he's not going to be inducted into our supervisor of the century, you know. But don't you feel that you still deserve that, even though, yeah, I mean, you might have taken something to improve your performance, but I mean, what about, you know, all those years where you were busting your ass and doing hard work for the company, you know? What about that? Don't you think you deserve to go in because of that? Shouldn't they take that into account?
Well, I shouldn't go in if I know explicitly that's the rule, the cardinal rule number one, that I can't take supplements. You know, that's cheating. If I know, if I willingly know that, and I'm still taking it, and I'm taking the risks, so I can make more money, you know, by cheating, then I don't deserve to go in. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to be fair, even though it would be against my best interest not to go in. But if I know, if I'm willingly cheating, that's the risk I'm taking, that I won't get caught and make more money.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's basically what happened with the steroids. And then I guess the Astros scandal we'll talk about in a few seconds.
Oh, yeah.
But,
the steroid thing, the science field thing, that's real cheating.
Oh, yeah. That is, yeah. Bonafide cheating. That's on a grand scale.
Marijuana and drug abuse, you know, I guess, because you're doing damage to yourself, to your body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but sign stealing and actually, you know, breaking rules to, like, get an advantage over your opponent, that's legit cheating right there.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it
is. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we're going to talk about that in a few seconds. And, Who do you think is gonna go in, or who do you think should have went in? I know Schilling. He had like 70%. He was third.
He was saying
5% of the vote.
Yeah, eventually he'll go in, but he's been kind of a douchebag, you know, the last several years with his conservative and outrageous views. So that's why he didn't go in. But I think eventually he'll go in as well. But
I think he'll go in next year.
Yeah, there's a possibility. You know, he's not a likable guy, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think he'll definitely go in. You know, he was a big game pitcher, especially with the Red Sox and the infamous Bloody Sox game.
Yeah,
another guy I think that could go in next year, or should have went in this year would be Billy Wagner, because his numbers.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty comparable to Trevor Hoffman. And if my memory serves me right, I think his numbers eclipse Hoffman, except for the obvious, the most important saves. The saves, number, of course. Other than that, I think Billy Wagner leads him in strikeouts, probably ERA, and, other categories. So
yeah.
I think Billy Wagner should have gotten as well, or at least at the very minimum get a higher voted.
Yeah.
I think he was in the 30%. And of course,
how long does
his
name stay on the ballot?
I think for 10 years, but here's the thing. You have to have at least 10%. You have to have at least 10% of you have to have the voters vote at least 10%. You have to have at least a 10% vote to stay on the ballot for 10 years. So you could be eligible to get voted in. If you get less than 10% of votes, even if you're a first ballot, this is your first year on the ballot, you're eliminated, and then you'd have to wait on the mercy of maybe a veteran committee to try to vote you in somewhere down the line. But other than that, if you don't get 10% of the voting, your goose is cooked, basically.
Yeah.
But congratulations to Derek Jeter and Larry Walker going in.
Yeah, definitely.
And shifting gears to the sign stealing, I mean, that is cheating on a whole nother level, because you had, I mean, we all know sign stealing has been in the game for like a long, long time. You know, it's part of the game, unfortunately. But the way how they did it was completely cheating, because they had videos and banging trash cans to alert people, the signs and all that stuff. And as a result, you know, three teams, you know, were directly affected. The Astros, who self-inflicted all this drama on themselves, which resulted in them winning their first championship in Major League history in 2017. They're the ones that benefited the most and, of course, suffered the most of this drama, getting their manager, A.J. Hinch, and their GM fired as well. Then the following year, you know, the Cora, their bench, the former Astros bench coach on the championship team, he coaches the Red Sox to a championship. They fire him. And then, you know, Beltran, a phenomenal player, you know, in the major league, played for 20 years, but he, you know, without that scandal, Beltran would have went championshipless, you know. And he got the job. He was hired for the Mets, 2 months ago to be their next manager, their 22nd manager. And then this saga, you know, surrounding him, you know, being a part of it, the only player named in this scandal. As a result, he loses his job that he didn't even get a chance to play. You know, he's a paper manager. He's literally a paper manager, because Mets still acknowledge him as the first Latin manager that they had, but now he has a no win loss record. And you know, a few days later, they announced that Luis Rojas, the son of the former Montreal Expos manager, Felipe Alou, the first Dominican born manager, you know, in the game. He's his son, Luis Rojas, and of course the brother of Moises Alou, former Met. He's going to be the new manager and the second ever Hispanic manager in Mets history.
I didn't even know Rojas was related to Alou.
Yeah,
this is the first time I'm hearing this.
Yeah. Oh, this is the first time hearing it. Here's now I know what you're thinking. Why is his name Rojas and why is the Alou's called Alou?
Well, I read why earlier this week when it came out.
Okay.
Yeah, you know why? You know, something about the minors and them changing his name or something like that, I guess.
Something to that effect. You're close. Basically, when the Alous came from the Dominican Republic, they basically, there was some, I guess, some error. When they came inside the game, when they arrived in America to play, you know, in the majors, they, for some reason, there was some discrepancy. So instead of listing their name as Rojas, they listed them as Alou, which was I think Felipe and Jesus and Felipe and Maddie, their maternal name is Alou, their paternal name is Rojas, but because of that technicality, you know, they used the Alou name. So that's how they were all known as Alou and Rojas.
That's for Rojas.
Yeah. So, yeah. So their name should have been, you know, acknowledged as Rojas, but it is what it is.
Mm.
But, you know, the Alous, I guess, / Rojas, you know, they're one of baseball's royalty. And now Rojas, becomes the sixth manager in history to be a father-son duo. And of course, the most recent father and son duo before Rojas took the mantle, the Mets mantle as the new manager, was of course Aaron Boone, the current manager with the Yankees. And what was I gonna say? So basically, Rojas, before Rojas got hired, you know, Mets wanted to look internally, so they didn't even bother talking to Buck Showalter or Dusty Baker. And of course, prior to that, they'd even talk to Joe Girardi when it was time for the hiring, you know, before they hired Beltran 2 months ago. So they kept it internal. And you know what my thoughts was, you know, about them hiring a veteran. I felt very strongly that they should have hired a veteran, because if they did, they would have had Girardi, and then they wouldn't have been part of this Astro scandal with Beltran being fired. But, you know, since unfortunately, you know, I realized that the you know, the Mets wasn't going to hire a veteran. Once I knew they were keeping it internal, you know, between him, I think it was Tony DeFranco, who was like, he was previously the AAA manager. And I'm trying to, Hensley Mullin, who was a part of the Giants organization as a bench coach, I think a hitting coach as well, you know, part of the, you know, the part of the coaching staff where Bruce Bochy led the Giants, you know, this past decade to win three titles. That guy was a part of it. But I felt, you know, Luis Rojas, you know, he definitely deserved the honor, since they weren't going to go the veteran route, you know. So basically, they hired from within, the guy's been in the organization since 2007, manage practically almost every part of the Mets minor league organization, and of course was the quality control coach with the Mets currently prior to being promoted as the manager. You know, he paid his dues. And another thing that made me turn my, you know, my thoughts around was all the players like Pete Alonso and McNeil, I think DeGrom, a bunch of players were coming to bat for him. You know that Luis Rojas is going to be a great manager. So before he got the job, you know, hearing all these guys talking well about him, you know, how they basically want, you know, they think he'd be the best guy because, you know, they loved how the second half was this past year, and they want somebody who was part of their success in the second half to come in and help them continue where they left off and not just bring an outsider and, I guess, basically ruin the culture and the vibe of the clubhouse. So, I mean, since the players were, you know, really wanted him to be the part of that, you know, get the job, and, you know, he paid his dues. You know, this is his dream job, managing the Mets. You know, I accepted it before it came official. You know, I warmed up to the idea of him managing the Mets because, like I said, I wanted it to be a veteran guy because this is a win-now team. And earlier today, the Mets had a fan fest where basically all the star players, including Pete Alonso, DeGrom, McNeil, they came out to, you know, show the fans support. And Rojas was there, Brody Van Wagenen was there, and basically, you know, they, you know, talked about how they want to, you know, change the culture of the franchise and hopefully, you know, get them, you know, get a winning culture back into Queens and continue where they left off. But what's your thoughts?
I think it's a good hire. Because, you know, obviously they couldn't go back to the other guys like Showalter or who's
Baker.
The other guy? Baker, you know, because those guys, they rejected. So you can't reject someone and then go back and try to hire them again. That's not
exactly.
going to look good. You know, it doesn't work that way. So they had to hire with them, and, you know, Rojas is the guy. I mean, it sounds like the players like him. And, you know, he's familiar with the, you know, the system. So, yeah, I mean, he's the right guy right now, you know, to go forward and manage this team. And I think he'll do well. You know, he works with these players in the off season, and, you know, the players get along with him. So, you know, it'll be a good tenor here for him, I guess.
I'm with you. You know, I'm definitely with you. And what I noticed, we won't know what type of manager he will be until he's in the, you know, obviously he's, you know, in the thick of things when the the regular season starts. But, you know, he's been with the organization forever. He's coached in winter ball, which is, you know, very competitive, I hear. And, you know, I wish him the best. You know, the players, they wanted him. Now they got to continue where they left off, take it to the next level. And like he said, he wants to be successful here. So hopefully Buddy Van Wagenen will make the best moves for the Mets to hopefully in the near future end this 30-plus year championship drought in the near future.
Yeah.
That's the only way this hiring will be, you know, a successful hiring, is if they could permanently change the culture of the Mets back and bring the title back to Queens. That's the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
Even Jacob deGrom said that he's not satisfied winning back-to-back
Cy Young
Award. You know, he wants to win at least third one, but all of those pale in comparison. His number one goal is winning a title. So hopefully the Mets will do that, and we'll see what happens with that. Other Mets news: they signed your boy, former Yankee Eduardo Nunez.
Well, yeah, I heard about that.
So I guess they're signing him, you know, to be a potential pinch hitter. I guess I'm guessing he's not going to be a utility guy. I mean, when he was with the Yankees, if my memory serves me right, he didn't really have a glove. But
yeah, I don't remember. Well, you know, he had some situational hits here and there. But I don't remember much about his defense.
But, yeah, we'll see what happens with that, you know, with them signing him. The Mets did lose Luis Avalon, who he wasn't a bad pitcher with the Mets. He was a former National. He was a lefty guy in the pen. He signed with the Yankees, a non-guaranteed contract. So, you know, that's a move that could be, you know, very good.
Yeah.
Under the radar signing for the Yankees right there.
Yeah.
So
could help us, you know. Hopefully we stay healthier than last year.
Especially with the bullpen the Yankees have. I mean, even though they did lose Betances to the Mets, you know, the Yankees have a strong bullpen with, you know, Chapman, you know, Ottavino and, you know, the rest of the gang. I guess Cool and the gang is probably in that bullpen too, for all I know. Because you got everybody in that bullpen.
Yep.
And you guys are trying to get Hader. I'm not trying to be a hater, but you guys are trying to get Hader too from Brewers. So.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen now. Yeah, that should have happened already, but right now
yeah.
It's looking like it's less likely to happen.
Yeah, at least maybe in the trading deadline or something, because that rumor kind of cooled off.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's been some rumors that have been going on for a while, like Mitch trying to get Mookie Betts or The stronger rumor is them trying to go after Sterling Marte from Pirates, but apparently they're worlds apart. But, shifting gears, man. Eli Manning. another of your a legendary, one of your favorite legendary players who's, you know, hanging it up and brought you a championship. You know, as you know, Friday, Eli Manning, you know, he did the right thing, you know. He's been in the league, what, 18 years or so? 16 to 18 years or so in the league, you know. It was time, you know, for him to hang it up. You know, he didn't want to be a bench guy anymore. He had his final hurrah this past season, you know, getting, you know, winning his last start. And instead of signing, you know, another place and, you know, playing for a year or two and not being the same player, I mean, he made the wise decision. And, you know, just end his career with the career where with the franchise he started and played his whole career for. And that's, of course, you know, the New York Giants, which he led them to, the, you know, amazing Super Bowl runs in 07 and 11, you know. And that's what he's going to be remembered the most, you know. And, you know, congratulations to him. But, you know, forget about what I have to say. What do you have to say? You're the diehard Giant fan here. What's your thoughts?
Well, yeah, it's an end to a very good career. You know, he's definitely the greatest Giants quarterback ever, you know, I think. You know, he led us to two Super Bowls, two improbable Super Bowls when we were heavy underdogs, you know, beating Tom Brady and that New England Patriot dynasty twice. And that's a phenomenal feat. And yeah, man, just those two championships alone, you know, will cement his legacy here in New York and with the Giants organization and cement his legacy as a Hall of Famer. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of debate right now whether he's a Hall of Famer. And I think, yes, he is. You know, I mean, he wasn't the greatest quarterback, but he was a very good one. If you look at his stats, based on his stats, he is a Hall of Famer. I mean, you know, he has the touchdowns. He has and he's a very durable guy. You know, he barely missed any games, you know, until the latter part of his career when he was benched. But he had some pretty good numbers. I mean, yeah, there's years here, years there where he had a lot of interceptions. But, you know, look at a guy like Brett Favre. I mean, Brett Favre was a flamethrower, and he threw a lot of interceptions as well. You know, he's in the Hall of Fame, and he's regarded as one of the greatest quarterbacks. So I don't think you should hold that against Eli. I mean, Eli was a, you know, he was a bona fide leader. You know, he led by example, just like Derek Jeter. You know, very similar careers. You know, Jeter was, you know, had more winning seasons, was more popular, but you know, they're very similar players. You know, they're not loud and boy, they lead by example, you know, by their performance. And Eli was a cool, collected guy that never broke under pressure. You know, when he was under pressure, he actually performed well, you know, so he had a very good career. You know, those two Super Bowls, I think, will cement his legacy and just it'll put him in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, it's sad to see him go, but now, you know, he can ride into the sunset and just relax with his family. And now with the Giants, they have to go with this younger guy, Daniel Jones, see what he's about. But, you know, it was an honor to see Eli play for us all these years. And, you know, best of luck to, you know, any other endeavors that he has after football.
I'm with you, man. You answered my next question. Is he a Hall of Famer? Yeah, no doubt about it. He's definitely a Hall of Famer, man. Just the way how he played when the pressure was on him the most, you know, defeating the Patriots, the undefeated Patriots, you know, 1 year and then defeating them twice.
Yeah.
I mean, that seemed impossible up until that point.
Yeah.
So, you know, my hat's off to him. You know, a class act on and off the field. You know, he played every day, every game practically until that crazy controversial benching, you know, towards the end of his career. But, you know, he's a legend, man. He's always going to be a legend in this city. And,
oh, yeah.
Like he said, you know, once a Jet's always a Jet, you know. I mean,
once a Giant, always a Giant.
Once a Giant, always a Giant. Yeah, I think he said it was Wellington Mara who said that. And he said, you know, only a giant is his own, you know, being a giant is his only option. So, you know, I'm glad he didn't try to hang on another year or two and, you know, ruin his legacy and play for another team. You know, he, you know, like we just said, once a giant, always a giant. So,
yeah,
you know, congrats to him. But, yeah, shifting gears to the Super Bowl coming up on February 2nd. It's going to be the San Francisco 49ers versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Man, this, what can we say, man? This is going to be an epic battle. You're going to have Garoppolo versus Mahomes. So, man, it's going to be down in Miami. I mean, what's your thoughts, man? It's going to be a slugfest.
Yeah, it's going to be a great Super Bowl. You know, the 49ers, you know, they're very good defensively. But against the good teams, they've kind of broke down, you know, this year against very good offensive teams like the, you know, the Saints and a couple other teams. So, you know, if you're very good offensively, you could beat them, you know, but, you know, they proved all of this year that, you know, they thrive through adversity. You know, they've had some injuries, but they've managed to overcome them. They have a good running game with Mosley and who's the other guy? Well, he just got injured last week. I forget his name. He's played for the Falcons. But they have a good running game. You know, their defense, they have a lot of good veterans on that defense. Sherman, you know, so they have a great chance. But the Chiefs, I think, you know, this is their year. You know, they're just too good. You know, you saw these last couple of games against the Titans and the Texans, when you're up, even by 20 points, they can come back in a minute. Mm-hmm. They're that good. They have many weapons. They have many schemes. And I think this is going to be Andy Reid's first chance. I think this will be his first. He will do everything he can to try to win that Super Bowl ring. Could be a first for him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Spagnuolo, you know, in this spot, I think he's going to just bring out his bag of tricks for defense. He's Spagnuolo won us a championship in that 07 year when we beat the Patriots, and I saw him just unleash different types of defensive schemes that he didn't implement during the regular season. So I think he's going to pull something in this Super Bowl, a few plays or two that's going to surprise the 49ers. But I think it's the Chiefs Super Bowl to lose. You know, they're the favorite, and they should win it. So I got my money on the Chiefs.
Hey, man, I'm with you, man. I'm rooting for the Chiefs, too, man. I mean, you know, Patrick Mahomes, he's the son of, you know, the former Met, Pat Mahomes. And, I mean, this guy, this young phenom, man, he's been dominating the league for the past couple of years, man. The Patriots didn't his way last year, but as we all know, the Patriots got stunned a few weeks ago. You know, I think, you know, the sky's the limit for Mahomes, you know, and this year is going to cap it off, man. He's going to win his first title, and Andy Reid is finally going to win that elusive championship that eluded him when he was managing, you know, the Eagles during the Donovan McNabb era. So I definitely think this is the Chiefs' time, man.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, definitely thinking they got to win that game. So,
yeah, and this is their first appearance in the Super Bowl since Super Bowl IV.
Yep.
It's been 50 years since they've been there. So, I mean, this is it, man.
It's going to be an exciting game. Can't wait.
Oh, yeah. Two epic teams, man. You know, historically, you know, you got the Chiefs and, of course, you know, the 49ers who've been synonymous with championships, you know, especially in the 80s and 90s when they had Montana and Steve Young. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two legendary franchises battling it out for the highest prize in football. That's, you know, what can you say? It's must see TV.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. You know, do you think it'll be a close game or a blowout?
I think it'll be close. I don't think it'll be a blowout. I think it'll be close because, I think that, you know, the 49ers are very good defensively. Chiefs are very good offensively. The offense versus defense. It's going to be very close.
I think Chiefs will win by 10.
Yeah, I can see that.
Maybe 35-25 Chiefs or... Yeah, I'd say probably 35-25 Chiefs. Final.
It's going to be a very close game. You know, there's some very good matchups there. Yeah, I think it might even come down to a field goal. So...
Could. I could definitely see that.
I say 27-24.
But shifting gears, tomorrow is the Royal Rumble. You pumped about it?
Oh yeah, I'm not excited as in previous year, but yeah, I think it's gonna be a good Rumble. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I'd agree with you. I'm not as hyped as I usually am. You know, around this time of where don't it seem like it kind of sneak up on us?
It does. I mean, and there's not that many exciting matches there. Other than the Rumble itself, you know?
Right? And the Daniel Bryan Wyatt fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know why? Because Brock Lesnar is not defending his title. I mean, he's not defending his title, but he's going to find the Royal Rumble.
Give me the Rumble.
He's a champion.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense, unless if he's putting his title on the line. But, let me see. This computer's acting up. I can't even see the listings right now.
Let me see if I can pull it up.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what matches. I mean, obviously, I know the Daniel Bryan and Wyatt match, but, you know, I want to save that later.
Right.
I'm going to go in order of, you know, obviously, we know the pay-per-view is subject to change. But, you know, we wanted to give you the listing of the matches going on. Right now, it might have been over. I know NXT had a pay-per-view event, Worlds Collide, where the UK... The UK show was battling the North American one, but I haven't checked it out. I don't know what's going on in that one, but that one should be a good. It probably might have ended already. Probably by now, it probably ended or should probably just ended by now. But yeah, it should be a good pay per view. I haven't seen the results or anything. But,
so one of the matches you have is Andrade versus Humberto Carrillo.
Right, Carrillo, right. I remember. I think Andrade's still going to defend the title. You know, won it. I know Humberto Carrillo, they're very high on him as a luchador. But I think Andrade is going to still hang on to the title.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's going to retain it.
What other matches are there?
Bayley versus Lacey Evans.
Yeah, Bayley
SmackDown Women's Championship.
Right. I could see Lacey Evans winning that.
Yeah, that's... I think... that's a good question. I think Lacey Evans is going to pull an upset.
Yeah, I think so. Bayley, man, she needs to step off her game as a villain. I'm still not buying her as a villain.
Yeah, me
you know,
neither.
Especially her being paired up with an alpha female in Sasha Banks. You're trying to relegate Sasha Banks as a sidekick, and it don't work. Her charisma just shines through. Whereas Bayley, even if Bayley's the champion, you know, she's always second fiddle to when she's paired up with Sasha Banks, she's always the second fiddle. You know.
Yeah, they need to make her a face again.
Exactly, it's not working. She's a horrible heel. And what really exacerbated her as a horrible heel was when she was feuding with Shayna Baszler, which is basically who she should be emulating as a villain, because Shayna Baszler just destroyed her during that Survivor Series run, you know, feud. I mean, I think there's no going back for Bayley. Bayley is one of those wrestlers that they can only be good at one side of the coin. You know, she's a great baby face. She's a horrible heel, which is, I think, on the same coin, flip of the coin. I think Seth Rollins, when he's not with the Shield, you know, he's a horrible baby face. And Charlotte Flair, she's a horrible baby face as well, you know. But she's great. They're both great as villains, you know, Rollins and Charlotte Flair. But I mean, there's only a few wrestlers that could do good, that are believable, no matter what, like Kevin Owens. There's a bunch. I mean, if you're going back to Attitude Era or old school, there's a bunch of people like that could do it.
Yeah,
it's all based on believability. It's like, do I believe what you're selling? You know.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
But let me see. I know there's Becky Lynch versus Asuka.
Oh, yeah. Asuka, yep. I think this might be a close one. But I have a feeling Becky Lynch is going to win it. She's going to retain.
Yeah, I think they're going to pull it off too, because they're finally acknowledging that Asuka's had her number, you know, for a while, especially since last year. You know, that's the only person that, you know, she hasn't been able to best during her the man run, where she's been basically unstoppable for the most part. So, yeah, I think she'll finally conquer Asuka, you know, because she's been teasing, like, if she can't beat Asuka, you know, she might hang it up and all this stuff. The way how she's kind of teasing it. Because she was saying, like, her contract is up and all that stuff. So she's basically teasing that she might leave or she might retire or she can't beat her. But, yeah, I think she'll totally defeat Asuka.
Yeah,
but
I'm with you on that.
I could see it go either way, but I'm pretty sure she'll defeat Asuka. What other matches are there? I mean, other than the main event.
Then you have Sheamus versus Shorty.
Oh, yeah, Shorty G. Come on, we all know Sheamus is going to whoop his behind. It's going to be a squash match. It's going to be more of a squash match than the 18-second match he had with Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania years ago. We know that's a – come on, we know.
Yeah, I'm going with Sheamus on that one, too. And Roman Reigns versus King Corbin.
We know Roman Reigns is going to win, barring some – a severe amount of interference. I mean, it is a false count anywhere match, right? I think it is. Am I
right?
Yeah.
So,
Roman Reigns will definitely beat him, barring some unforeseen. Because you know, there's definitely going to be interference from, Ziggler and Bobby Roode.
Right.
There might be maybe somebody we haven't seen in a while, or I don't know, maybe like a Lars Sullivan or somebody like that, somebody turning heel, or a Big Show type of person, somebody we haven't seen in a while will just, you know, attack. That's the only way Roman Reigns would lose, but I think Roman Reigns is going to win.
Yeah, I think he's going to win as well.
Let's see. Are there any other matches before the the Royal Rumble and the Daniel Bryan match?
Only other match is the Fiend versus Daniel Bryan.
All right, let's dive into that. I think the Fiend's gonna win. I mean, it's gonna be a phenomenal match. It's gonna be a close matchup, but you know the Fiend, man, he's unbeatable, man. Daniel Bryan will come close to anybody, even Seth Rollins or who else was he feuding with before Daniel Bryan? What were the memorable matchups he had? The Fiend. Who did he just fight against just now? Was it Randy Orton? Who was he fighting when he was fighting as his regular self?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm forgetting now.
Because he was just fighting against somebody not too long ago, but
yeah,
as his regular self, not the Fiend. It might have been Randy Orton.
Could have been. I can't even remember.
I think it's Randy Orton, but I'm not 100% sure. But in any case, yeah, I think the Fiend's gonna win. You know, Daniel Bryan will make it close, but the Fiend's gonna win.
Yeah, I think the Fiend's gonna win as well because you know they're building up towards a big match for WrestleMania
mm-hmm.
for the Fiend to fight someone, the winner of the World Cup.
Roman Reigns.
So, yeah, well, that'll lead to the next thing now, to the Rumble itself, because I think Roman Reigns is gonna win the Rumble to face the Fiend.
Oh, that's a good point. You know what? I think you're right. I was thinking it would be you know Brock Lesnar or Drew McIntyre, but you know I think you convinced me.
Well, with Lesnar, Lesnar, I think Velasquez will be in the Rumble. So I think they're leaning towards Velasquez and Lesnar at WrestleMania now. Yeah.
You might have a point there.
I think Velasquez will eliminate Lesnar, which will lead to that WrestleMania match.
Oh, that's a good point. I mean, I wish it would be him and Lashley. You know, Lashley eliminates him, and that would lead to a match there. But I think you're right. The Kane-Velasquez rematch, I think that's something WWE would do for sure.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you convinced me on the Roman Reigns thing, because I definitely think Roman Reigns will be battling the Fiend, even though I wish it would be somebody else, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody else who hasn't won a title. Like Braun Strowman would have been a perfect candidate, you know, from the Battle of the Fiend, former Wyatt family member. You know, it would be great to see another person who hasn't won it, you know, battle it out. But knowing WWE, they usually don't give us what we want.
Yeah, exactly.
So it is what it is. So yeah, you convinced me it was Roman Reigns. I was thinking it would be maybe Drew McIntyre or you know, Bray Wyatt. But, yeah, the more you talk about Roman Reigns, I definitely see that. So,
yeah.
You twist my arm. I'm picking Roman Reigns as well. On the woman's side, I think it's Charlotte. This is, if my memory serves me right, this is her first time in a Royal Rumble, you know, because I think she's had the title. I think both you know, during the both, you know, female Royal Rumble. So I think this is her chance to win the women's Royal Rumble. What's your thought?
Well, this is a tough one. I mean, because there's a lot of different girls that I think could win it. Yeah, this is gonna be a tough one, but man, I'm gonna go between. It's either gonna be Liv Morgan, or I'll say Sasha Banks.
Sasha Banks, I could.
Is Sasha
could
in it? She is in it, right?
Yeah, she has to be in it. I have to double check. Let me see if my computer is finally working. Let me see. Try to go on it quickly. Okay, she's finally working. Let's see if we can scroll. See the women's one. So far in the women's one that they announced was Charlotte, Alexa Bliss, Nikki Cross, Sarah Logan, Natalya, Carmella, Dana Brooke, Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. The other ones haven't been announced.
Okay.
So, yeah, Sasha Banks would be a good pick. I haven't thought of that. But I think Charlotte's going to win that one.
And she'll what? She'll face Becky Lynch again?
I wouldn't be surprised, man. This WWE, man, they're trying to make a Rock and Austin rival out of these girls. I mean, I know they probably have the best female rivalry, but they're doing it to death, man. Like, that WrestleMania should have just been Becky Ronda Rousey, but they can never give us a break with the Becky Charlotte.
Yeah, there's some other good ones I think that could win it. Also, I could see Shayna Baszler.
Yeah,
it.
That's a good one. If she, yeah, you know what, she might be in it. You that's a good point.
Or even the return of Nia Jax.
Oh,
that's
a good one. That's a good one because last year she had the moment in the men's one, you know, getting RKO'd by Orton, and she eliminated a man. I can't remember. Was it Rey Mysterio? I can't remember who she eliminated. Because I remember Rey Mysterio hit the 619 on her, and then Orton hit the RKO. But she eliminated at least one dude. I just can't remember who.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a good pick too.
Yeah. Hey, that could be a good one.
Yeah, you onto something, man. But you got any last? I think that's about it. I think we said everything.
Everything.
Other people, what you say?
Yeah, pretty much touched on every match.
You got anything last words you gotta say?
Keep checking your local listings for the return of IMAC, and come back here, check out Sports of Legend every Saturdays 11, only on Block Talk Radio.
Yep, you heard the guy. Check out his show, the return of IMAC coming soon to a podcast near you, and check out Sports of the Legend. Every Saturday is at 11. Next week we'll give you the recap, the review of Royal Rumble, and what anything else that's going on in the world of sports at that time. I mean, I guess except for the Super Bowl, unless there's something newsworthy. But what was I gonna say? But oh yeah, also check out Sports Urban Legend TV, the YouTube channel. You know, so he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramon, and I'll see you guys next time. Peace. Only on Blog Talk Radio. Ha ha ha.